how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, welcome back to another episode. I'm your host, Francisco Castro. If you are enjoying this content, consider subscribing and leaving a review. Okay, this podcast is part of the More Than Baseball Network. More Than Baseball is working daily to better the lives of minor leaguers all over. Our mission is to protect and enhance the future of the game by allowing every ball player to live a better life during and after their careers. Check them out at morethanbaseball.org. Again, like if you like this content, go ahead and subscribe, leave a comment. I've been having extremely awesome guests, you know, humble brag, not a big deal. And I'm super hyped for my guest today, drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays in the 10th round. Absolutely carving in the minors. He was a Rays minor league pitcher of the month. And May, I believe you were a minor league pitcher of the week as well. No big deal. Putting up video game numbers. You have major league flow already. Major league flow. I had to get him on the pod. Awesome, Vernon. How's it going, brother?
Good. How are you, my man?
Can't complain. I can't complain at all. And like I said, I had to get you in the pod. It's been a couple weeks of here, hit and miss here and there trying to get you on, but we finally got this. We're good to go. How have you been? Like, what's going on?
Been good. Got moved up like 3 weeks ago. So like you were saying, we've been hit or miss. That was like the start of it from there. And since I've been here, it's been okay. Last outing was rough. And right now I'm currently on the IL.
What?
Unfortunately,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just something flared up that I had like surgery on in college, like the same thing flared up again. So right now, I currently am on the IL, but next week I should be back. Threw one bullpen earlier this week, throw another one tomorrow, and then if they both go well, if the next one goes good, then I'll be good to go next week.
Okay. So let's talk about that call up. Obviously, you got called up, you said a couple weeks ago or not too long ago. How did they let you know you're going to get called up? Like, was it out of the blue? Because you were carving, like I said, video game numbers. I mean, Rays fans are absolutely drooling. They're just, if you just type in your name and, you know, in Twitter or whatnot, like you see these Rays bloggers, you know, everyone's getting you on the show, their shows and whatnot and talking about you. So, like I said, not a big deal. I mean, you're just carving. Like, how did they let you know you were going to get moved up?
I think it was the 4th of July game right after the game. They just like called me into the office and then they're like, hey, they like tried to mess with me. And I sort of knew like it was coming because I was supposed to start like Wednesday. So the first day after the break back, and one of our other guys was like, oh, I'm starting that day. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I was supposed to start that day. And so he sort of spilled the beans early that day.
Oh.
After that game, they like, after the game, they just called me into the office and like told me like, "Hey, you're going up."
Wow. So they were trying to mess with you, but he kind of already let the cat out of the bag.
So like he was like sitting there just like trying to like make up a story, yeah. And I was just laughing. He's like, "What are you laughing at?" I was like, I sort of like already know what I think is happening, but yeah.
And like I said, you're putting up you're carving in was it low A, I believe.
Yeah.
Like when you're playing that well and you're pitching that well, you're not a starter, right? You're like, I know you, they do bulk starting or like the bulk guy, because the Rays, you know, they're always doing their thing with pitching and whatnot. But like,
yeah,
when you're pitching that well, do you just want to get out there as like often as you can and just let that arm eat?
Yeah. I mean, see, I was like doing like bulk, which I didn't mind, because then I was just throwing once a week. Maybe like I'd get in there twice a week, once like every 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it is. So I didn't mind that part because I was like, oh, I can get my rest. I throw my five innings, mm-hmm. get my 4 or 5 innings of rest, four or five days of rest, and then like back out there. So I enjoyed that part, but I also like the bullpen mentality. I just like coming out the bullpen. My past three outings have been starts, and I mean, they haven't gone the best, but they could have gone a lot worse. The last one went pretty bad, but the other two like turned out better than they could have. They should have. I don't know. I just feel like I don't get that same like adrenaline boost just coming out the bullpen, but we'll see. We'll try to find something for that.
Yeah, okay. You always talk about the adrenaline boost to get out of the bullpen, and like, is that like a scenario? And like, I mean, I never pitched. Like, I mean, is there a huge shift mindset wise when you're starting a game versus like you can be called up in the middle of the game no matter where it's at as a reliever?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'd say it's pretty big for me, especially because like I pitch off adrenaline type of guy. And so, like, warming up in the bullpen, just knowing, like, hey, I'm about to go in. If this guy gets in trouble right here or if he hits his pitch count right here, like, I know I'm going in. So, like, from that aspect, like, I get my, like, I sort of, like, rush myself a little bit in the bullpen. So, in that way, it sort of, like, builds my adrenaline up because then my heart gets racing. So, then it, like, helps me. But, like, as a starter, I can't really do that because it's, like, oh, like, go out there. I play catch. I go to the bullpen. I throw a couple. I sit down for, like, sometimes if we're ahead of the time, I'll sit down for like a minute or two, get back up, throw again in the bullpen. It's just like not that same like eagerness and like rushed feeling to get out there. And then like whenever you get out there, you just slow it down. But I don't know. I just feel like I can't get to that same level of adrenaline coming out the pen coming out the pen.
And I respect it. Like I have a friend who plays for the Brewers organization. He's a starter. But he wants to be a reliever, and like, but he's so good, like he's so good, they won't, they want him as a starter. But he's like, man, put me as a reliever. He's like, I would love to just go out, let the arm eat for one inning, not have to worry about anything else. But like, he was in the Futures game. Like he's, I don't know if you know Antoine Kelly, yeah, he's good, yeah. But he's always jokes with me. We'll play Fortnite sometimes. He'd be like, man, I just wish I was a reliever. I'm like, no, dude, I'm like, there's that money, bro. You gotta get that starter money. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But I want to ask you this, like you talk about coming out of the bullpen and getting kind of hyped up and whatnot. Are you like a smelling sauce guy or a pre-workout kind of guy? Like, what do you do to get yourself hyped up before you start pitching?
Honestly, like whenever I come out the bullpen, it's just sort of natural, like whatever flows. Sort of like the closeness of the game, like the closer the game is, the more like my adrenaline is going to be bumping. Obviously like fans, if they're just into it, whether they're my fans or the other team's fans, if they're just into it, that's like another factor that helps for sure. And then, yeah, I would just say like, whenever like, I feel like whenever like they call and they're like, hey, get Austin hot or whatever, right? I'm like, all right. Then it starts like kicking in and I start getting that adrenaline like going, whereas like, yeah, starting it's just like, doesn't happen.
I feel that. And like I was talking to a guy who played in the Marlins. He played for the Marlins organization. He's in Beloit. He says there's one guy on his team who would like get a cup of water and like drown himself before he jumps out into the bullpen. So he would like breathe in the water and then like it would give him a kick. Have you heard of that before? Like that was insane. I've never heard of that.
We have mental skills people, and I was like trying to talk to him about it. I was like, dude, I can't get like the same adrenaline rush that I get when like I come out the bullpen. Like what can I do? And he was like, honestly, he was like, that's like a hard thing to like, you got to find out what works for you. Yeah. Cause obviously like some people do Red Bull, some people like that smell salts, stuff like that. So he was like, just like, I know whenever I get my heart gets racing, and that's sort of when the adrenaline's kicking in. So he was like, just breathe fast, like breathe super fast, like in between innings, like before you go out there, like breathe super fast, get your heart rate up. But even then it's just like, I got my heart rate up, but it didn't give me like that little boost that I'm like looking for. So I don't know. I feel like it just depends. See, like I started my first start. It was sort of similar. Same sort of thing. Like I was like chilling, whatever. And then like kid got a hit, started mouthing off at me. So we went back and forth. And then that like boost that like I turned like another page. And I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What did he say?
Something like that. Well, it's because he thought I was quick pitching him. I don't think I was. I just move fast. So I get it and I go. Okay. And he thinks I was quick pitching him, so he like starts cussing at me, running down the line after he gets a hit. I'm like, okay.
Jeez.
Here we go. So we went back and forth for a little bit, and they're like, all right, that's enough. And we're like, all right.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you've seen guys in your maybe in this level or other levels or even like in college or whatnot just do to get themselves hyped up? Because like I said, there's so many people have different things to kind of get the Red Bull, the smelling salts, the pre-workout with water and without water, like whatever it may be.
Yeah. Now, I see a lot of guys mainly like Red Bulls and stuff. Like,
okay.
Especially when we were in Charleston, we had like 4 or 5 guys that would literally put Red Bulls in the cooler in the bullpen. And, or not even the cooler, the water. Jug thing even in the bullpen. What? They just throw their Red Bulls in. Okay. It yeah, so I mean there's a lot of them love Red Bulls. Yeah. I'd say that's probably like the number one thing. Some of them would like tell like other players to like slap them on the chest, stuff like that. I mean, so I guess whatever works.
All right, so when I first reached out to you, about the All-Star break, you were in Nashville. Like, how was your experience during the All-Star break, just kind of like to get it, you know, regroup and then go to Nashville with your brother, which like just based on Instagram videos and reels and whatnot, and you know, credit to me for doing research and just Instagram stalking you, but it looked like you guys were having some fun out there.
Nah, Nashville was sick. It was good though. It was definitely relaxing. I mean, we've been playing since basically like March 1st, if you think about it, or doing baseball related. Well, I mean, even before that, but like with our affiliations or with the Rays, we've been like doing baseball stuff since like March 1st or so. So, I mean, been at it for a while. So that nice little 4-day break was quality. We needed
it. Yeah.
No, but we had a good time. We went and just got like dinner sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just really chilled, hung out, played some golf. Wasn't too bad, but yeah, we had a good time. Went to a couple little like cocktail bars. That were pretty sick. So
yeah,
it's fun for sure.
And your brother was drafted, right? I think by the Brewers.
Yeah.
Do you think that was like a, I don't know, just like a not like maybe like an advantage to you having seen him go through everything, the college route, the, you know, getting drafted, the minors and all that, just kind of having that experience?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it does help, because then like sort of like because I went to the same college as he did. So I sort of like coming up, I've known what to expect every time I've been going somewhere. So I went to college, I knew what to expect. Whenever the draft was like coming around, I knew what to expect, just because they like told me what happens, what goes on, stuff like that. So like I always like knew what to expect, and now it's like just taking advantage of the opportunity you're given, basically. So yeah.
Oh, for sure.
No, definitely has helped a lot.
Was he a pitcher, or what was it? What did he do?
Yeah.
Okay. I was gonna say, how was like the competitions, like wiffle ball and whatnot, when you guys were growing up? I bet that was pretty intense.
We were always fighting.
That's crazy. Did you play any other sports growing up in high school?
Yeah, high school I played basketball too. I played football my freshman year, but I didn't really play, so I was like, I'll stop. It wasn't my sport.
Yeah,
what I liked to do. I didn't like to play it. I was just like out there sort of. So, but basketball also like my mom played, so she sort of threw us into that young. And so I played that all the way like through high school.
Were you pretty good at basketball? Because obviously we didn't get into your height, but like you're what, 6'7" or something?
6'8". Yeah.
6'8". Okay. Yeah. Short changing. My bad. I'm only 5'11". So shout out to us short kings. But
I wasn't like bad, but I was also like 300 pounds then, so I wasn't really agile. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
not a lot of good moving out there.
Yeah. So when did you decide like, hey, basketball is obviously not the route for me, but baseball, like I'm kind of nastier than most of the people like in my area, high school or like whatever you did growing up in high school. Like, when did you realize like I'm just a little bit nastier than others and I can make something out of this?
So I don't know if I really had like, I mean, I just knew I always loved baseball. Like that was mm-hmm. my go-to thing. Played all my life. And like, that's just like what I loved. So like I was like, if I want to play any sport anywhere else, like it wants to be baseball. I thought like I had the potential like through high school, whatever, to go play college baseball, and then Central ended up being my only offer, so obviously went there and then just took advantage of the opportunity I got given. But I never was like, I don't know, maybe like that just wasn't my thought process, but I was just like out there like playing and like being like, if I do good here, maybe like I can get an offer. Yeah. Da, 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 da. You know,
was your team pretty good though?
No, my high school team sucked. And I'm like, the other thing is like I never played like really like showcase or anything.
Oh.
Like Canes, Evo, or Dirtbag, stuff like that. Like I didn't do any of that. So that probably didn't help me either. So I was just playing like literally like travel ball. That was basically what I was playing up until I was like 18 with like this one team. We would just like go out to like this different tournaments and just play, but we weren't like playing in like showcase tournaments or anything. We played in like maybe like two a year. Okay. So I don't, and then also I went to high school that we won six games within my last like 2 years of high school.
What?
So, yeah, we were bad.
That's bad.
We were bad. I was bad. We won one game my junior year.
What? Like, and like, I mean, were you, was it, it wasn't your fault, of course. I mean, I'm just kidding. Like, but were you like, were you their main guy then, like pitching wise?
Yeah, pitching and hitting, sort of, yeah. Okay. I mean, like, the one win our junior year, I threw no hitter. We like run rolled the team at four innings, but that's how I beat them. And then we go to the next week, and or like, because we played the same team twice in a week. So we played them on like a Tuesday or something like that. I pitched that game and then played them on a Friday, and Friday we like got demolished.
Wow.
That's by the same team.
That's insane.
It was bad.
Wow. And like I said, like you, but you were pretty good, obviously. For me, like my career, it was over like in like fifth, I was like 6 years old. My mom realized I took a bat out of my hand, put a, made me play cello, threw me orchestra because she knew I wasn't going to be anything good when it came to sports. But so how was that recruiting process? You talk about, you know, you went to the same university as your brother. Obviously, was that, did that play a factor into it? Like, did you go on college visits? Like, how was that, that whole process for you?
Yeah, I mean, that was my only offer. So obviously, it was like April of my senior year.
Okay.
Maybe like end of March, I gave him a call and was like, hey, come out, like, come watch me. Like, I'll be throwing this game at this time. And so they come out, and literally, like, I think like 3 days after they offered me. And then that was my only offer. And I was like, this was by this time, he was like, I'll give you like 2 weeks, think about it. So by this time, it was like April, early April, and I was like, well, I have another. I was like, oh, let's see if I can get anybody else to see if they'll like offer me. But nothing happened. So that was my only offer. And I was like, okay. So committed to him in April and then went on like a little like tour. And then that was sort of it. And then spent the past 4 years there.
Yeah. So how was like the official visit and whatnot? Like how was that? Did they just they show you around? Maybe have some of the guys take you to some of the.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they just, like, really, like, honestly just took me. They didn't even, like, we didn't even go into buildings or anything. So, they just took me around. Because, like, I already knew. Because I went on my brother's visit with him when he committed there. So, whenever my brother went, like, on his visit, they took him to the field and everything. So, I mean, I had been going to the field. Because the field's, like, 2-5 minutes off campus. It's, like, the old Durham Bulls field. That's where he played at. So, it was, like, 5 minutes off campus. So, then they took us there like the first time, but obviously like I've been around that field for the past 4 or 5 years because my brother played there, like going to games and stuff. And it's like right in our backyard. So like they just, yeah, sort of like took me on a walk around the school and was like, hey, this is this building, this building, this building. And that was sort of like it.
How was you, how was like the, and you said you didn't get recruited or anything. Was that just because like was your area, like in North Carolina, right? Yeah, like was it just not a big like baseball area, or is it just because your school wasn't maybe the best at baseball? Because obviously, like you have talent, like
yeah. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I was also like I said, I was like 300 pounds then, so I wasn't like the most agile person. I was a bigger guy, and like I think like junior year going into senior year, that summer of high school, I think it was like 82, 83. And then by like, but it was also like, didn't help that I was playing for like three different teams, like throwing for like all of them within 2 or 3 days. Like, so I was like, my arm was torched. And then college or senior year of high school came around. I was like up to like, whenever they came to watch me throw, I was like up to like 91 or something like that. I was like 88 to 90, touch 91. So, but I just never like, I don't know. I just never had anybody coming out or talking to me or anything. Like, it was, I didn't have any like, JUCO offers D3, D2, nothing. It's
crazy.
It's pretty wild. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Kind of go off topic here. You have the flow. Like we got to talk about this, the flow that you have. When did you start growing that out? And because I mean, obviously it's sweet. It's major league already. Like you already got the look.
Started growing that out like junior year. No, earlier than that. I want to say like sophomore year of high school. Like the end of sophomore year is like when I started like letting it grow. And then by junior year, like I had like a little baby flow. So I'd say about like 2016-ish.
Okay.
And then just from there, let it go. And then just, I actually just got it cut, but it was like down to here.
Wow.
Like felt like, yeah. when I was in Charleston, like right before, not too long before I left there, I got it like trimmed because I was like, it's getting out of hand right now. So I need something. I need a little bit to go. But yeah, so since then I just grew it out. Before that, I had a comb over. It looked brutal. Just a bad look.
Oh, before so you had long like, hair, you just had like a comb over?
Yeah, it was not it. Yeah. A fat boy with comb over. I was looking rough out there.
It was
a rough life. Yeah. So I was like, we got to change something up. So I just grew my hair out and just kept it since.
Yeah. Okay. And you talk about, you know, the short hair wasn't working for you. You grew out your hair long. You got the style already. Like, you know, did your DM start getting a little, picking up a little bit after you started growing the long hair out, you know, throwing well in the minors and whatnot?
No. That didn't help at all.
Oh, man. Well, hey, I'll say this. Like, I hope you don't struggle ever because, like, I don't want the hair to have to go, you know?
No, it's not going. Yeah. I don't think it'll go anywhere. I don't know. Because I don't, honestly, my hair's too thin. I feel like if I got to, like, cut short, it just won't look right. So I'm just going to, like, keep it long as possible.
Yeah, you got to roll with it. You got to roll with it. So you mentioned,
everybody tries to,
so go ahead.
Everybody tries to say I have, like, a mullet or something, though. And I'm like, nah, it's just long hair. It's
yeah.
A mullet.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Sweet. I don't have my side shave.
Okay.
But, like, there's like, little kids at the game. He's like, sick mullet. I'm like, I don't have a mullet, but yeah, thanks.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we'll talk about fans in a second because minor league stadiums have like the craziest fans at times. I want to get into your college experience though. You obviously say you didn't get recruited and whatnot, but you end up going to a good the same university as your brother. I don't know why I didn't have it pulled up here. North Carolina Central, or is it?
North Carolina Central University.
Okay, and then you were you threw a new no hitter there as well. So you threw a no hitter in high school, in college. And then in the Cape, you were part of a no-hitter. So, like, I'm going to start calling you Mr. No-Hitter. Like, we have to get that narrative started that you might be Mr. No-Hitter.
No way. Not me.
But you said you did throw one in high school, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. So, junior year, threw one. It was in four innings. And then, threw one last year. It was in eight innings instead of nine because for some reason, whenever we play in conference, you can run roll.
Okay.
And so it was 10-0. They like walked in the last run. But I should have had a perfect game, but I could have had a perfect game. I walked one guy, but I don't know. So like the pitch to the kid, he had been given. I mean, the umpires, I'll tell you, they're not that good. They'll give you like two balls off sometimes. Like it gets pretty wild out there. So like this ball was literally like a ball off, and he's given it to me like multiple times that game and called it. It was a 3-2 count and called it a ball. And I was like, oh, no way.
Does that stick in and your then, mind then? Like when you're like, man, I could have had a perfect game.
Not really. Cause okay. I still like threw no hitter, which is pretty cool. But like, I mean, obviously like it is in the back of my mind. Cause like next batter, I literally threw the pitch in the same exact spot and he called it a strike. And I was like, no way. I was like, there's no way you just did that.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't just the one that mattered, you let them take a little walk, and then the one that doesn't really matter now, you call them a strike.
Yeah, that's when I feel like umps are making it all about them.
Yeah, I was like, I already walked one guy now. Like, I'm walking another, oh well, at this rate. but that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so and let's get into your college career. Obviously, you threw the no-hitter. How was the experience playing in the collegiate level versus like your high school level?
Goodness gracious.
Who's this? Oh, no, let him in. Who's your roommate?
Sean Mullen.
Sean Mullet?
Mullen.
Mullen? All right. This is also all good. Tell him to expect a DM.
Okay.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. He's good. Question? No, I was saying, like, what was that the difference pitching, like, you know, collegiate and versus, like, you know, in high school?
Well, I mean, like, the high school I went to and the area I was in was, like, playing for, like, the Bad News Bears.
So, that's fair.
It wasn't like – it was obviously like a big jump. Like, kids would literally swing at anything. And then, like, you get to, like, high school or college, and, like, you actually had to, like – even though we weren't, like, the best conference, you had to, like, learn how to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously it was still a jump. But, yeah, I mean, it was definitely a big jump from high school to college.
How was your guys' football team? Do you guys like how was the college game days? Did your coach let you guys get after it a little bit, or did you have practice in the morning? And
well, we were a dry campus, so there wasn't really much getting after it anyway. And then like we didn't really go to football games anyway. We had Sundays off, but we didn't really go anyway just because like it wasn't like that college atmosphere football game stuff.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
So was it like a dry county? Because I talked to somebody who's like in a dry county.
Not just campus.
Okay.
So you just can't like have alcohol on campus.
Oh, man. So there's no tailgating, no pre-games or nothing?
Except for like, what is it? I want to say homecoming or something like that or something. Yeah,
they lift the rules for that.
Then they're like, oh, they don't care because all like the alumni come back.
And yeah,
they all tailgate and stuff, and so then they don't say anything. But yeah,
interesting. Wow. Okay, I didn't know there were like dry schools or dry campuses. I mean, maybe that's the thing, but
I didn't know either until like I got there.
So was that like in the in the brochure though? Because I mean, they probably have to hide that in the fine print somewhere. Like, by the way, just so you know.
I can tell you, honestly. I just think I overheard someone one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, oh.
All right. Well, it is what it is. You survived 4 years. So I ask this question a lot. So when was your, like, if to when moment? Not like, you know, if I get drafted, but like you start asking yourself, you know, or saying to yourself, when I get drafted.
I'd say like sort of whenever I started playing in the Cape, like sort of had like a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just feel like I started talking to more scouts. And stuff like that. So I think like around that time is when I sort of like knew, but it was still like you never know. So I just go with the flow.
What kind of questions were scouts like talking to you about and you know, in the Cape and all that?
Oh, I don't know. That was in like 2019 when that was really like that was a while ago.
No worries. No worries.
I don't know. I thought they just asked like general questions, honestly, like about family and stuff and like just get to know you as a person more than anything. And obviously, like, losing weight was a big thing. So they, like, always, like, talked to me about that. Like, questioned me, like, how I did it. But, yeah.
So how was your draft day experience then? Obviously, you get drafted, what, 10th round? Mm-hmm. Did you have, like, a group of family over? Like, what was your experience like?
I was actually in the Cape then.
Okay.
Because I played that summer before the draft. And so my host parents I had known from when I played in 2019. So my parents just came up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just like hung out and just sat around and waited till it happened. So yeah.
How nervous were you like just watching those rounds go by? Cause I mean, 10th round's nothing to be ashamed about. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. No, it was frustrating though. Cause I got my first call like during the fourth round. They like tried to offer like way under slot and we were like, no. So then it just got like, you're just playing a waiting game, and that like happened multiple times before like the 10th round actually happened.
Yeah, and it's crazy how like baseball, and a lot of people who aren't part of the game are, you know, so as familiar, know that the whole process of you can get drafted fourth round, but then you're getting paid less, or you can get drafted in this round but get paid more.
Exactly.
It's a whole, you got to balance like, okay, I get, you know, where you get drafted versus like your actual slot value and how much you actually get paid and whatnot. So it's crazy. It's not like any other sport, I feel like.
No, it's not. It is crazy.
Yeah, and so obviously you get drafted by the Rays. No big deal. They're a really good team. Obviously, good organization. They love pitching. What was that like? What was, you obviously got a good signing bonus, and you don't have to talk about your money. But what was your first big dumb purchase that you bought?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a big purchase, but I just had to get a car just because I didn't have one. So my parents took mine. Well, the one that they let me use through college.
Sure,
so.
Sure.
I didn't really have a choice but a good car, so I had no other choice. So I had to get one of those. That was about it.
Okay, no worries.
But yeah, I mean, it was sort of a necessity at that point.
Yeah, like,
there's no
absolutely.
Way. Just not having one, I gotta have something.
Would you buy?
Just a Jeep Cherokee.
So. Okay, that works. All right, so let's get into the minors. Like, obviously, I like talking about the minors. This podcast are important with more than baseball. They're working hard for the minor leaguers to kind of advocate for them and all that stuff. You get drafted. Like, did your brother prepare you for like the grind that the minor league is?
Yeah, I mean, he sort of like told me about it and like sort of let me know what to expect. So yeah, he did sort of prepare me a little bit. And then like, it's obviously a little different than what he says whenever you get into it. But I mean, it was sort of spot on for the most part.
Did he tell you any horror stories of you know, long bus rides or like whatever? Maybe.
So I don't think he had any really like terrible bus rides. From what I remember, because he got released after his like first season or second season. Okay. He had TJ. It was second season, but well, he played his first full season, and then in the middle of like towards the end of that, he had third TJ, and then when he came back from TJ, he got released. So he was in like low A for the most of it. So I don't think they really had like any like terrible bus drives. But yeah, no, he definitely, he said they like fed him pretty well though.
Okay.
I remember that though, because he was with the Brewers. And yeah. So they like, for the most part, they got fed like pretty well, where like some other teams like saying like they don't get fed at all. He was one of the few that always was like, yeah, they like feed us good and whatnot. So yeah.
Interesting, because yeah, that's something you hear about the minors all the time, like the food isn't the best or whatever it may be. Obviously you play in the minors, you go low A and you're high now. What has been one of the more like interesting stops you've been to, where you get off the bus, you look around and you're like, where am I right now? I'm in the middle of nowhere.
I'm like from North Carolina, but down east Wood Ducks is literally like the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
Is that the
Rangers? Low A.
Rangers? Okay. Is that the one who has like the Mother Earth Lodge?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Lounge or whatever. I think it's Mother Earth Lounge.
Okay.
But yeah, terrible.
I've heard so many stories. That's one of the top like listed places that people mention all the time on the pod. Like, where's the worst place you've been to? Like Beloit and that down east or whatever they are. Like, because the hotel or motel, whatever, lodge or whatever it is, like the sheets or the blankets are like polka dots. The walls are like neon.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. And like the first night we were there, we were hungry because they didn't give us, we ran out of food, something. And so we were like walking to McDonald's and literally like some dude just sitting like in an alley with his door open. And like we're walking by, he's like, what y'all do? Y'all play baseball? And we're like, yeah, whatever. And then we just keep walking. And then we come back. He's like, y'all want some food? I got some steaks in the back. And we're like, there's no way this man's like stealing steaks out of his car right now. And he's like, well, y'all be safe out there. We're like, okay. We're like, all right, let's get back to the hotel.
Yeah, like I've heard that place is wild and it's not very much there. I think there's like a cafe. Evan actually talked to me. Evan referred, when he was with the Brewers, he played there. And he and his roommate, he said they played like 100,000, whatever, I'm exaggerating, like rounds of golf, because they got that old fashioned like golf course where it's just like I don't know how to even describe
mini putt.
Yeah, the mini golf.
Like, yeah, miniature putt. Yeah, like at the hotel.
Yeah. Did you play that?
I never played, but you got the pool and then the like mini putt right behind it. And it's like enclosed, like in the hotel. But yeah, it was pretty funny to like see that at the hotel.
Yeah, it's random. Like I said, that's one of the places I get mentions all the time. In the middle of nowhere, obviously, like the hotel is just a trip just being there. I might have to take a trip down there just to see what the experience is. Maybe I'll vlog it. I'm not a vlogger, but maybe I'll become a vlogger and just do that just for a day. But holy man.
A little scary over there,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, maybe that same guy would be selling me some steaks. You never know. I might have to bring a grill and set up camp out there. You obviously haven't been in the minors for too long, and that's been one of the weirder cities. But like, have you had any interesting like fan interactions? Whether it's like them chirping at you or like autograph asking, because like I said, you're pitching well. The fans probably know who you are. You're long hair. You're tall. They probably recognize you. They probably asking for your autograph and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of everything. I mean, I've heard like multiple fans tell me to cut my hair. And then one was like, cut your hair, you hippie. And I was like, all right, cool. I think I'm not going to cut it, though. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like dumb stuff like that. But it doesn't really bother me, honestly. It's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Their fans are just having a good time. And
yeah.
If they're happy with that, they can be happy with that. But it doesn't bother me. So I'm not too bothered by it.
Yeah, have you pitched where they would have maybe like a strikeout batter? Where they like depending on where it is, like I talked to a guy like in the Annapolis, they'd have like the K batter, and like if he strikes out, then everybody gets like, I don't know, like dollar after beer or something.
See, we never did that in Charleston, but we did it in like whenever we're at like another team's place. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do it. It's like Fredericksburg, they did it for us. So like if one of our hitters like struck out, everybody in section whatever gets this. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like 90% of the places we've played at, they do those. I know where we play at, we didn't do it. I'm not sure if DG does it. I think they do, but I'm not positive.
I'll say, did you ever, you know, did that ever incentivize you to pitch just a little bit stronger, maybe at the arm eat just a little bit more, so they can, you know, give the fans what they came there for, you know?
Right. I mean, like maybe a little bit. You're like, oh, like that'd be pretty cool. You check them out, get some fans, some free food. There you go.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. So I'm looking at your numbers, 9-2. This is probably now it might not be the same, but this is like a week ago when I was looking at this. 9-2 with a 2.32 ERA. Obviously, the Rays love their pitchers, and, you know, fans know that. And, like, after putting out these numbers, like, I mean, are Ray fans DMing you asking for, like, autographs, asking for, like, whatever, maybe a lock of your hair or something?
Nah, I haven't gotten any of that, thank God. I've done a couple of these. Mm-hmm. Like two or three other people. I know one was like Locked On Rays.
Yeah.
Then I did another one with like, I forget what it is. So they do it like after like the post game or pregame for like actual Rays games. Mm-hmm. You like put it on the thing and it was like a little podcast. And I did the one with that guy. And then I did one like a little while ago, not too long ago. I'll say like maybe a month ago, but I did another one then. I don't forget what it was called, but yeah.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I might have to make this the official Austin podcast, because I mean, I'm gonna buy some stock in you now here, while you're in high A here, and you know, we'll just kind of grind with you throughout the minors and kind of see how everything goes. But yeah, man. We're excited to see, you know, how everything goes with you pitching and whatnot. And like, obviously you're in the IL and stuff, but like, what have you been doing to keep yourself like occupied?
I mean, like, I still go about my everything like a normal day. So, I mean, like I said, I don't wake up usually till like 11:30, 12. So yeah. Then that's like half my day already. And then I like eat lunch, come back, and then just wait until the bus. So it just depends what there is to do around the hotel. And then,
yeah.
Obviously, go to the field, and like from the field on, like I still do everything I was doing before. So, like stretch, throw, run, whatever we gotta do, lift, shag BP. And then from there, it's just like hang out. And then we got the game. So, yeah, it's sort of the same routine. Just I know I'm not pitching. So, just always chilling in the dugout now. But it's not bad. Not bad. I mean, this is probably the best spot I've been to all year on the road, as far as being on the road goes. Even from like low A and high A, between the both of them, I think this is probably the best spot.
So when you're not pitching, obviously you're in rehab now, but we'll get you back soon. What do you do for fun? Like you're a golfer, Fortnite, Call of Duty. Like what is your thing to do when you're not pitching?
I mean, yeah, I'd say golf is pretty fun. I haven't golfed a lot though this season. I suck in spring training, at baseball, not golf. And so when that happened, I was playing golf then. Then I got into the season, I was throwing pretty well. And I was like, yeah, I'm not picking up the clubs anymore until I do bad. And then I had a bad last out. And so I picked up the clubs again. I was like, why not? But I just like being on the go and like doing stuff. So I mean, like I went to Nashville to see my brother. And like, obviously, it's only an hour away from where we're at anyway. So if we get any chance or off day to go, I'd probably go. But just like finding different things to go do. Like for instance, one day we went to Dave and Buster's and sat there and played games for like 4 hours. So
yeah,
just depends. Yeah. I just like being on the go, like doing anything. So better than sitting at home, I'll tell you that. So
you're not a gamer at all?
I mean, I've played, but like, it's not like my like go-to yeah, thing. I'm not the best. It doesn't help that I'm not like the best at it either. So like, I'm not like gonna go out here and play Fortnite and finish first and win.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I'm probably gonna die within the first like 50 people dead.
Yeah.
Same thing with like Call of Duty. So those aren't like, yeah, I'm just not that good at them. MLB The Show, I was like all right at, but then I stopped playing that just because like, I don't know, I just didn't really like have time for it at the time. And now like I could like probably pick it up now that like with the way our season is, but it's already too late. So I'm just like, no. I would play like Rocket League. If I play anything, honestly, just play Rocket League every now and then.
I haven't played that in forever, Rocket League. I feel like.
Yeah, it's like my go-to one, just because like, I don't need anybody to play with. I just throw like casual 3v3 and just join someone else's game. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and you don't even got to be good though to play COD or whatever. No. Maybe you could be, you know, for COD, like, you could just be like the morale guy, you know, like keep the boys happy, crack a couple jokes, exactly. Die, it's all good.
Well, see, like when I was playing with them, that was when it was fun, but then they sort of stopped playing too. So then it's like, I'm not going to go out there and run solos. If we were running like trios or squads or something like that, I'd play, but they don't. The ones I used to play with that we would always just like have fun with, that we don't really play anymore. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I mean, you and I may have to squat up sometime.
Hey, I'd love to. I'd do it. You're just gonna have to carry me. Just put it that way.
Hey, that's fine. Like, you be the morale guy. I'll be the team leader. You know, I'll carry the squad when that doesn't matter. I'll see. I know a couple of the guys who might want to play. We'll try to get a little group going on, and we'll have to squad up sometime. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I'll be your cheerleader.
That's all I need. And that's kind of how I am. Like, I was talking to a guy, a friend who's just in Beloit here, and he and the guys go golfing. He's like, you should come with us. I'm like, look, I'm not a golfer. I don't know how to golf, but I'll go there. I'll be the morale guy. You know, I'll crack a couple of jokes. I keep it light. You know, I'll just be the guy who makes a little bit more fun. That's kind of probably my role there. Speaking of that, in your locker room, like who's like the glue guy there? Like who's maybe keeping it alive for the boys?
I mean, we have a couple. I mean, I feel like we just mess around a lot anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In Charleston, there was one for sure. Jack Snyder, and Bobby Seymour, I'd say them too. They were hilarious. Mm-hmm. But like here, I feel like it's more like, oh, I'd say Wiles, and then my roommate.
Oh, and who's your roommate again? I didn't hear what you said.
Sean Mullen.
Oh, okay. Is he a pitcher as well?
I'd say between them two. Yeah, they both are.
Okay.
I'd say them two are pretty funny.
Yeah, awesome. And that's what you do. You gotta have somebody there to keep everything light. I want to end on this. I don't know if you saw during the All-Star break that one gentleman who was pushing through kids trying to get autographs and like, oh, yeah. See, that guy's a clown. We are anti him. Yeah, we are anti him on this podcast. But what are some of the more interesting things you've seen guys do or kids do to try to get your autograph or even autographs of other people on your team? Like, obviously, like, that you hear, can I get a ball? Can I get a glove? Can I get your cleats? Whatever it may be. Like, what is a crazy thing you've heard?
I mean, we had one kid warming up in the bullpen. And, like, in Charleston, it was bullpen and then, like, fans right to the mm-hmm. side of you. So, like, they're right there. When I say we had a kid for an hour and a half yelling at every person, like, asking for an autograph, it was probably the most annoying thing ever. Yeah. It was bad. It was literally, like, an hour and a half. Of just nonstop, like yelling at the top of his lungs, like, can I get a ball or can you sign this? Or we'd have a guy warming up and he's yelling at the guy, like, hey, can you sign this? Can you sign this? And I'm like, at the top of his lungs, not even like it's like, hey, can you just, it's like screaming mm-hmm. for an hour and a half. Like, imagine like a little kid just screaming, crying for an hour and a half. That's what it sounded like.
And now, like, did anybody give him anything? Because I feel at that point, like, it's kind of annoying. Like, you almost don't want to give it to him because he's just kind of being a, like,
yeah, no.
He's a kid, so you kind of want to, but at the same time, like, he's not showing the respect that sometimes you feel like they should kind of.
Because we just tell him, we'd be like, hey, like, we can sign after games.
Oh, sure.
Like, we'll sign it. We will be like, we can sign it after games. Like, just like, wait. And nah, didn't change anything. It was determined to get it mid game. I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. Good thing I wasn't thrown that day. So I just went and sat in the dugout after like an in and of it. I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. And then I came back and he's still doing the same thing like 3 minutes later. I was like, this is ridiculous. Wow. I'd say we have like a decent amount of like older people who like follow us around. And they like one guy, this was a pretty like weird. So he was in Charleston. I was the last person to leave the locker room this day. And like our game finished at like 10. I probably didn't leave till like 11. Because I had through, so I got to do arm carrying stuff. Come out and like say, hey, can you sign this? And he just had like a white paper. And I was like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
And they like pulled out something out else that had like a graphic. So I signed it. And then the next week we're in Augusta and he's there again, like right outside of our bus. Wow. And he's like, hey, can you sign this? I was like, yeah, I signed last week. I was like, I'm good. Because I don't know, I just heard stories about like, you sign like blank stuff, like people like just try to like copy your
signature
and like try to sell it and stuff like that. So I was like, like if anything, I gave them an opportunity already to do it. So mm-hmm. it's not giving two.
Wow. That's
not crazy. Not that he's doing that, but it was just weird because it was just like, it's like, you can't. He was like, oh, did I get you last week? And I was like, well, you can't really miss me. 6'8 with long hair.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. Yeah.
And I was the last person. I was like the last person left. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like more so. I'd say like whenever we'd done in Charleston, like Carson Williams, he was obviously our first rounder, so like it was like nonstop, like everybody just yelling at him, like, "Hey, can you sign this? Can you sign this? Can you sign this?"
Is he still in Charleston?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming he'd probably be there all year just because he's like he just turned 19. But
out of high school.
He's, yeah, but kid can swing it. Yeah. That, so.
Wow. So he just needs like bodyguards to get out of the stadium.
Yeah, sometimes in some places. Say like earlier in the season for sure. There's people like nonstop all over him. My goodness gracious.
Yeah. There's this one guy, I heard a story, there's a fan, a Latin player who's just incredible in the Jays organization. There's a grown man chasing him all the way to the bus. Security had to jump in front of him and say, like, dude, you need to leave. Like, he's not going to sign your autographs. And the guys didn't speak much English or whatnot, so, like, he couldn't really communicate. So that he's just kind of like, you know, no, no. And then he starts walking. The guy just follows him, almost gets onto the bus. Security comes in, throws him off, like, says, like, you can't do that. Like,
no way.
Fans are crazy.
That's
dude.
Crazy.
And you see these guys are like booklets too. And they're just like flipping through the book and they're just like sign them all.
The time. All the time. Anywhere you go, literally at least one person has a booklet.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
Like whatever. It is what it is. But I mean, at the same time, like you gotta like kids gotta like everyone has to like just have manners, right? You know, like stop just demanding the ball.
No, exactly. I'm right there with you.
I feel that. All right. Hey, Austin, I'm gonna let you go, but I appreciate you coming on. Like I said, I'm an Austin Vernon guy now, like ride or die. if you're not pitching too well, fans start chirping at you. You can, you know, let me know. My podcast, Twitter will be your burner account. Like, we'll chirp back. No big deal. I got you. Like I said, I'm going to send you, do you play Xbox or PlayStation? Like what's your
PlayStation.
Okay. Well, we can cross play. No big deal. But, I'll have to get your gamer tags and we'll have to squad up.
Yeah, we'll run it for sure.
We'll definitely run it back and then we'll see what happens.
For
but
sure.
You have a great rest of your day. Hopefully your whole IL thing, you know, all gets all worked out in one night and we're seeing
you
pitch again, man.
Oh yeah, for sure. I appreciate you, my
man. All right, brother. You have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You too, brother.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.